640 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. Thousands of people in Southern California have been forced from their homes by three massive wildfires fueled by hurricane-force wind gusts. This man lives in the Pacific Palisades.
From my bathroom window, I could see like multiple houses getting burned down, and I could just fully see it from my house. It was pretty scary.
Many people abandoned their cars and ran away from the flames on foot. KNX's Craig Figner is in Altadena, where they evacuated a senior living facility.
Nearly 200 people in care homes had to be rescued by ambulance, but the ambulances couldn't get there in time. They had to be wheeled out of wheelchairs and on stretchers down the street.
Forecasters say the winds could intensify in the hours to come. L.A. supervisor Lindsay Horvath tells CBS Mornings,
"It is incredibly unusual for us to be dealing with this in January."
CBS News special report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Recent crime stats show a positive trend in Milwaukee. Homicides have fallen 23% year to year, with a total of 132 last year. The Milwaukee Police Department reports decreases in several other serious crime categories, including rape, human trafficking, arson, and burglary. Despite those improvements, the city faced an 11% increase in carjackings and a minor increase in auto thefts. Changing how Wisconsin kids are being tested isn't supported by a high-profile former educator. Governor Tony Evers is criticizing the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's decision to change state test score benchmarks. Evers is calling the change a mistake. State Superintendent Jill Underly defended the changes, saying standards were updated to better assess students. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's got plans to bring forward legislation to maintain consistent standards. In some areas, people are still crunching and crushing through the snow after a few inches came down Monday. The winter weather can turn sidewalks, driveways, and parking lots into danger. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more on ways to stay safe when it's icy.
Slip and fall injuries are among the most common winter-related accidents, often leading to serious consequences like fractures, sprains, or head injuries.
So you want to make sure you've got some good quality footwear on or some good traction with your footwear, so that you make sure when you're making contact with the ground, starting from your feet down, you've got good tread, non-slip soles, something that's pretty stable and secure on your feet.
That's Caitlin Eichmann, a physical therapist at Aspyrus. She says the first line of defense is keeping pathways clear of snow and ice. Slopes and stairs can be particularly dangerous for individuals with limited mobility.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Marquette wins again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a comeback win in Milwaukee over the Georgetown Hoyas. Final score 74-66. Head coach Shaka Smart.
We get down 14. We're not shooting the ball well. The zone stymied us to some extent. It would have been easy for us to get bummed out, and I thought our guys did a great job collecting each other, helping each other have the spirit that we needed to have to win the game.
NBA, the Bucks host the San Antonio Spurs tonight at Five Sir Forum. Former Marquette star Jimmy Butler says he wants out of Miami, but doesn't want the Heat to trade him to Milwaukee. NFL wildcard playoffs this weekend, the Packers and the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. Matt LaFleur on one of the things that stands out about Philadelphia.
I just feel like the defense is, I mean, they're humming right now. It's a very talented defense. You can tell that they've got everybody on the same page. They got superstars on every level of the defense.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 22 this afternoon. The wind will be northwesterly at 5 to 15. Tonight, 13. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 29 with a little light snow possible from Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
It is 8 degrees outside right now.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Tim Cavanaugh joins me to discuss his upcoming show in Port Washington. Then TV's Mike Siegel and I discuss high school dance music. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Trump there saying that he would not rule out using military force to retake it is not something that should be treated as the bluster. I mean, Trump is coming into this White House and is intentionally staffing his administration with aides who will not block what he wants to do or what he ultimately seeks. There were many instances in his first term where he wanted to do something, but advisors either convinced him not to or Republican lawmakers did. That is not going to be the same Washington that we are encountering in 13 days from now when Trump takes office. So I would treat everything he said there quite seriously. I mean, moments after he said he wanted to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I just thought I'd let that play.
Does anybody
just
have a
little bit as
itch?
You hear the lyrics of that song. Mother, there's too many of you dying, brother. You know,
that's what's making you scratch. And
so,
you know what? Fact checking is out
50,
the window.
Four that's years right. later, I'm still playing that song.
Can you say he doesn't
every
have
morning? And
okay,
it is
I'm
as relevant
to bed so
today as it ever was. But anyway, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing?
And I'm like, why wouldn't I?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
I'm, like, I'm doing fine, man. You know, we're complaining about
a lot of fire.
Yeah, we got
you know,
a lot of.
What is it?
We are in fuego.
Right.
5 degrees.
And it's bourbon fire too. It's
yeah,
not, it's not
man,
like
we could be in L.A. right now.
In the hills, it is like
it's warm, but
yeah, a lot of places. CVS is coming down. A really
it's you know those wildfires, man. You know, you trade off sometimes living in the Midwest
and
in the East, and you know us having to deal with the cold weather. But man, what they deal with in these warm areas. They
yeah,
can
it's
keep.
Three, isn't it? Fires
anyway,
right now.
Yeah. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, so that means I am joined by some great people, co-founders of the campaign for lead-free water, Dr. Yana Lambrudino and Paul Swartz, co-founders of lead-free water and Robert Miranda of Flat.
Yeah.
Good morning to all of you. It's good to have us back together again. For those who don't know, this is a labor of love, but information that is being organized and brought to you life-changing and life-saving information with this group of just talented and wonderful people. Good to see you all again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes, yes, it's better to have you guys here. Hey, Robert, let me read this first paragraph, and then you take it.
So I can't.
Because this is kind of what the subject is going to be about today. Baby food labels will reveal levels of lead and other heavy metals for the first time. Lead and other toxic heavy metals have been found in dangerously elevated amounts in some commercial baby food sold in the United States, yet parents have had no way to know if the baby food they purchased contained those high levels. I don't need to read any further, Robert. I'll turn it over to you, because I'm sure the American people can't believe that there would be these lead levels in baby food.
I can't.
And people don't know, man. What is going on?
Here's a service to America. I can't. I just.
Well, it shows the level
of
misinformation, misleading the public, not being transparent about what it is that we are fed and told to drink by our government and by the industrial complexes of this country that manufactures our foods and our and the things that we ingest via juices, whatever. And you know, some of these laws that are now coming in, and this law that you're specifically talking about, coming from California, shows that there is some awakening happening out there in the country that people and politicians and legislators are starting to take note. That people are getting sick, and people need information. And so, you know, kudos to the people in California for drafting this legislation. I believe it's AB 899, calling for this transparency of information for the public to know what it is exactly that they are feeding, in this case, babies, infants. What is in those products. And it's a very important issue that we should look at, because it's also a kind of blueprint for us as we were talking about this whole thing with lead pipes and lead and water. You know, this need for more transparency in our country for us to be able to know what it is exactly we are buying and what we are feeding our families is a matter of public health. It's a matter of health, period, for our families, so that we can ensure that our children are growing up without the adverse effects of products that we thought were safe. And, you know, food, water, air, those are vital to the existence of a human being. This is very important. So, you know, the work that was done in California to make this happen is you know, I applaud it. It's great that they're doing this. But I think that we could also do this here,
you know, invade
in Milwaukee when it also when we're talking about lead and water. I mean, we have to be more transparent to the public in regards to what levels of lead we're dealing with here in Milwaukee. And the public needs to know, because in the last year, when the Milwaukee Water Works, for example, released its lead copper rule required information to the public, not many people really understand that information. Not many people understand that even though the Milwaukee Water Works has met all levels required by the EPA,
and apparently
the lead content still in the water is still too high. past the levels that the CDC recommends, past the levels that the EPA recommends, and the recommendation is zero. The last report that was put out there by the Milwaukee Water Works shows that in their lead copper rule 90 percentile readings, we still had over a 5.3 parts per billion level of lead in water, and in some cases, that reached over 20 parts per billion.
Right.
But they also didn't tell the public, and the public really doesn't know, but they did tell the public because it's out there. But the public doesn't know, and the public should know. That information should be given to them by the government. The government shouldn't be forcing us to look for it. They should be putting that out there. Is that even though they did meet the requirements of EPA, lead is still in the water in all of their tests. Some form of detectable levels of lead was present in the water. And even though those numbers show that it's under what the recommendation is of 10 parts per billion, the bottom line is, and finally the EPA acknowledged that in this new lead copper rule improvement that they put out there.
Pardon me?
Yes. Part per billion recommendation.
Right, using military force, he said, no, I can't assure you on either of those two, in response to whether he would use military Greenland. And also, he said, we need Greenland for national security purposes. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it, but if they do, they should just give it up. They should just give it up, because we need it.
It's a territory of Denmark.
And the people should understand that. They should understand. These recommendations are not health-based.
Right.
They are more for the convenience of the water utilities to be able to continue doing business as usual and not worry about investing their monies to improve water distribution infrastructure. So I'm glad California is moving in that direction. I'm glad that this is out there in regards to what they're doing, because it is serving as a kind of a blueprint of how we need to be more transparent, especially when it comes to lead and water issues.
If you're just joining us, I am joined this morning by Dr. Yana Lembernidou, Paul Swartz, and our co-founders of Campaign for Lead Free Water, Robert Miranda of FLAT. And Dr. Lembernidou, let me, is it the fact, in your opinion, that part of the reason why they can continue to do these things is they don't fear any liability? I mean, there's you know, I mean, they're doing these things and they're not fearing liability.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we're talking about lead in drinking water,
What is it? Sense of humor?
This is a contaminant that is regulated by the lead and copper rule. And this is a law that does not require water utilities to deliver water that has no lead in it. Even when water utilities exceed this EPA lead action level, that's what it's called, of right now it's at 15 parts per billion. Even when water utilities exceed that standard, under the lead and copper rule, they're still not considered in violation of the regulation. They are, when they exceed that standard, and that means that when they find that there is severe and widespread contamination across their distribution system, they're just required to take some corrective measures, but they're not considered in violation of the rule. So you're right, Earl, that this is a regulation that we're dealing with that does not hold water utilities accountable for delivering lead-tainted drinking water, and certainly does not hold them accountable when people experience direct harm from ingesting this water.
So guys, hang on. I'm joined again by Paul Swartz, Dr. Yana Lembernidou, Robert Miranda, and we're talking about lead in the water. 855-752-4842 is the number.
Right on.
news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
The stars of Bruce City Wrestling are back at the Waukesha Elks Lodge, 2301 Springdale Road, for BCW Rise to Honor 21. The Apex athlete CJ Cole defends the BCW Heritage Championship in a leather strap match. And Guilty by Association takes on a four-man team led by former WWE superstar Swoggle. Two rings, steel cage, war games! Cards subject to change. Tickets are selling fast at BruceCityWrestling.com. Doors open at 6, bell time at 7. Saturday, January 11th, BCW Rise to Honor 21.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The 2024 election was certified January 6th by Congress with no objections, accusations of fraud, or violent mobs. Why was it, well, blissfully boring? Vice President Kamala Harris handed each state's electoral college letters of certification to tellers who then read them out loud. When complete, the total was announced and Trump was declared the winner. The whole process took less than 30 minutes. What changed? The Electoral Count Reform Act was implemented, making it harder for Congress to derail certification. Election rules were tightened in many states, but in battleground Michigan, where voter access was dramatically expanded, Trump won. After losing in 2020, he claimed widespread voter fraud in Detroit. Hand-counting activists have also been curiously silent. Were the voting machines different this time? Electronic ballot tabulators, the target of conspiracy theories and multi-million dollar lawsuits, are still on the job and recognized as far more accurate and less costly than hand-counting. What about the legions of undocumented immigrants Trump claimed last October would vote illegally? There was no widespread evidence of non-citizen voting in this or any other U.S. election. Other than no criminal conspiracy to overthrow the results, not much did change. Our 2024 election was secured by many of the same heroic election officials doing the blissfully boring work of democracy. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Over yonder, what do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely. A new day is coming.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest, Robert Miranda of Flack, Paul Swartz, co-founder Campaign for Lead Free Water, and Dr. Yana Lambrinidou, Campaign for Lead Free Water. Tony says water utilities aren't required to deliver clean water. So, Robert, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to you and let you have the conversation and take it where you and Yana and Paul think it should go. So I'm gonna step back and turn it over to you, Robert. You take the conversation where you want to go this morning.
Well, that's a good point that
Tony.
Is it Tony?
Yes.
Tony? Yeah, Tony brings up because as Dr. Lambrinidou mentioned before, there is no real effort to hold the water utilities accountable the way that the public sees major corporations being regulated. You know, it's like there's these regulations by the EPA that are coming out to hold certain government agencies like water utilities responsible, but there's really no teeth in accountability in those guidelines. They call them, they don't say words like mandates or regulations. They say guidelines. This is a guideline. This is, you know, no, we've got to have some teeth in all those EPA mandated standards that should hold these water utilities accountable. The way we hold cigarette manufacturers accountable, the way we hold food industries accountable, these government agencies should be held to account. You know, Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du says that, you know, the people expect that the corporations, mega corporations, the big industrial food people and cigarette making people are going to screw them over. But, you know, for us to believe and trust that government isn't going to affect us in the way that they do, that's very naive. Government is not looking, especially these days, and especially when this new administration comes in, they're not going to be looking out for the interests of the people, the common people, the salt of the earth. They're going to be looking out for the interest of all of the billionaires and the profiteers that are funding their coffers. And those are the people they're going to be paying more attention to.
Hey, let me, Robert, let me do this. So Tony says, can the state mandate, and this is for you, Paul, can the state mandate higher standards, or are they government governed by the federal agencies?
Well, good morning, Earl and audience, and thank you for that question, Tony. It's really spot on. Back in 1974, when I was a wee lad, Gerald Ford signed into law 50 years ago on December 16th of 2024, the Safe Drinking Water Act. And that federal law was brought into birth because people were demanding all over the country that our government act to protect us. And what we've seen over the years of that law is that there have been some progress, but still fundamentally transparency and accountability, as my colleague Robert Miranda said, it's not happening. And fortunately, in many states, not in all, the states can pass drinking water regulations that are enforceable and transparent above and beyond what the federal government does. So in many states, like in Wisconsin, the federal law can be the floor. In some states, the federal law is the ceiling, and the states can't go above the federal law by the constitutions in their states. So we've got some work to do, and people are going to need to demand of their government, of their water utilities, of their, you know, everybody to do a better job. But Tony, your question is right at the heart of it. And the only thing that's going to move government and the water utilities in the right direction is people agitating when they have the information to find out that this is a priority for people in their in our lives, in our bodies, and to speak out and to do something about it.
Robert?
Yeah, it goes to the very point, and that is that you have the fox watching the hen house. And in this case, the water utilities are the ones that regulate themselves. They're pretty much writing the regulations, and the EPA is just passing it along. And so the water industry is manipulating the EPA into a situation where they're making sure their interests are protected and they're not held accountable. That's got to be reversed. The public needs to hold the water industry, the water utilities, accountable for their water infrastructure to make them provide fresh, clean, safe water to the public.
Dr. Lambrini-Du, what we live in a representative government. Why aren't our elected officials holding these people accountable?
I think that there are power dynamics in the water utility industry. Is very powerful and has a lot of influence over our elected officials as well. That's a big problem, too.
All right. 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday, and that means I'm joined by the co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water and Robert Miranda of FLAC. 855-752-4842. More coming up.
Crystal blue persuasion. You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Morgan Geiser has filed another petition for her release. She was convicted in the 2014 Waukesha Slenderman stabbing case. She'll appear in court tomorrow to request early release from the Winnebago Mental Health Institute. Her previous request last April was denied. It's been a problem educators have been warning about. Now a state agency is adding some data. A recent study by the Wisconsin Department of Administration projects a decline of nearly 200,000 Wisconsin residents by 2050. The report attributes the decrease in declining birth rates and the aging of the baby boom generation. While some counties like Dane are expected to grow, others, particularly in the northern part of the state, could see population declines of 15% or more. That could potentially add on to workforce shortages and create problems for those setting school budgets. There's been a big stray dog intake at a Milwaukee shelter, and they're looking for some help. The Milwaukee Area Domestic Animal Control Commission is facing a capacity crisis after getting over 100 dogs in just a few days. Despite the influx, MADACC says they remain committed to their open admission policy. The organization is calling for community support through adoptions, fostering, and volunteering. After just over a year at the top, the Milwaukee County Transit System president has retired. Denise Wonke's retirement follows a leave of absence in October of 2024. That took place during budget season, with MCTS facing budget problems in the coming years. Recent crime stats show a positive trend in Milwaukee. Homicides have fallen 23% year to year, with a total of 132 last year. Despite those improvements, the city faced an 11% increase in carjackings and a minor increase in auto thefts. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Demi Moore is getting rave reviews regarding her acceptance speech for her Best Actress Golden Globe. Moore won for her role in the film The Substance. She says the Golden Globe was the first award she had ever won for acting in her 45-year career. The actress says she was at a low point in her career when what she called an absolutely bonkers script came across her desk. She agreed to do the role, and the rest is, as they say, history. The holidays continue for Zendaya and Tom Holland. The couple, who have been dating since 2021, are reported to be engaged, according to TMZ. The couple shared the screen in three Spider-Man films, but typically do not walk the red carpet together. Holland says he was not with his fiance at the Golden Globes, so she could enjoy her moment. Zendaya was nominated in the Best Actress category for the film Challengers. I think they will each make a great first spouse. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today with a high right around 22 this afternoon. The wind will be northwesterly at 5 to 15. Tonight, 13. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 29 with a little light snow possible from Thursday night into Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
It is 8 degrees outside right now.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project return to the show after a vacation break. We'll catch up with them. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Again, my guests are Paul Swartz and Dr. Yana Lambert-Nidu with Campaign for Lead-Free Water and Robert Miranda of FLAC. And before we, Robert, I turn it back over to you. Tony, once again, has some great questions. And so, Dr. Yana, Have any elected officials been receptive to higher standards, or is it not high enough priority for them to even get involved? And then he asks, where and who specifically should we be putting pressure on to deal with this issue?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Tony. And in fact, the state of Michigan has, after the Flint water crisis that I imagine most listeners have heard about or familiar with the leadership of former Governor Rick Snyder, did pass a state-specific lead and copper rule that, although not perfect, is at this point the most health protective lead in drinking water regulation in the country. And there's other efforts and movements around the country. In Washington, D.C., for example, which is where my colleague Paul Swartz and myself live, D.C. passed a regulation a few years ago mandating the installation of lead-certified filters at every single tap, at every single school, public school in our city that is used for drinking or cooking. So there are, and Michigan actually has passed a similar filter-first legislation for schools as well. So there are initiatives that are happening in different parts of the country, but certainly we're hoping that a lot more will happen. And as Paul Swartz said earlier, that requires the public's mobilization and working with elected officials to provide them the information and help them see how this is really pretty much a black and white issue. There's no scientific debate around the health harm that is posed by lead in drinking water, that is clear. And there are very clear recommendations by the CDC and EPA around lead in drinking water. And really the only quote unquote safe level of lead in water is zero. It's no lead at all.
Robert, go ahead, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those are good questions. And I also wanted to mention that, you know, at the local level, there are things that activists can do as well. You know, when we first started this action here in Milwaukee in 2015, one of the areas that we pushed hard to have the city of Milwaukee change was this practice of partial lead lateral removal of the so-called private public side. And that was a practice that the city was engaged in. And we worked with former Alderman Ashade Hamilton, Tony Zielinski, Bob Donovan, and a couple others to put a resolution together and make a mandate out of stopping that practice, because the partial lead lateral removal basically disrupted or disturbed pipes, causing lead contamination to rise to significant levels. The other thing is I wanted to touch on what Dr. Lambrini-Du had mentioned earlier in regards to the water utilities and accountability and stuff. And one of the biggest obstacles to accountability and holding water utilities accountable is the American Water Works Association, which currently has a lawsuit filed against the EPA in which the new lead copper rule improvement, the LCRI, that just came out in October of last year, has some really good stuff in it, especially where it relates to lead pipe replacements. And this American Water Works Association, the AWWA, went ahead and filed a lawsuit against lead pipe replacements because they feel that it's not really feasible to remove these pipes in 10 years. The cost, other issues that they feel is not just. And again, this is a water utility lobby that is more interested in the welfare and power of the water utilities instead of the public health, instead of the good of the regular common folk in this country. And again, they have put together various different networks out there. And one of those networks is located here in Wisconsin. And as a matter of fact, one of those networks spokesperson wrote an op-ed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel not long ago talking about the crumbling water pipes. And even though it sounded very good and stuff, this guy is Dr. Theodoro, Manuel Theodoro out of UW-Madison, put this op-ed together talking about how he and 50 of his colleagues got together to discuss the future of water here in Wisconsin and around the country in relation to the lead pipes, and how they have a 50-year vision of how we could deal. Nobody want to live with this stuff for another 50 years. That's crazy. You're talking about generations being contaminated with lead and water for another 50 years. That right there in itself shows the careless, the callous, the reckless way of thinking in regards to dealing with this. 50 years is way too much. We've been living with this for hundreds of years already. And this guy's talking about we want to move forward with another 50 years. That's out of line. And so, you know, activists in this state, activists in the city need to push back on that kind of language, need to push back on those kind of op-eds and tell people who don't have a real interest in our community, who don't sit with real people at the table and talk about how we can make this go away and get to the point where the community wants it to be, not where they think it should be. It's very important that people get involved in this matter as it relates to lead and water.
You know, Paul, the old axiom, you can't beat City Hall. But you and what you guys have been able to do in Washington, D.C., what do you want to say to people who are listening now, who are living in rural areas or whatever, and they feel like they just, this is more than what they can even imagine?
Yeah, so I think there's three important things, really, to understand as ordinary individuals protecting our families and communities. One is that information is power, and that finding out the facts about the lead and water exposure in your community, knowing that lead is coming out of almost every tap in the United States, whether you're living in a rural community, off of private wells, or you're in a small community with a small water system, or in a big city like Chicago or LA or Milwaukee or DC, that understanding that your family's being hammered by this toxin that everybody can pronounce, lead, and though it's invisible and you can't taste it, that it's important that people know, first of all, that that's happening. Second, people have some power in their communities to bring up these issues and make them a priority and mobilize around it. And third, that there are other folks in other communities who have been on this journey who are willing to help you confront this power. At the 30,000 foot level, this is a really easy thing to talk about. Lead and water don't mix. When you start going down into the layers of the onion, you know, as we've been doing today on this show, it gets a little more complex. The fact that the water utilities, the American Water Works Association, which was founded in 1881 at the at Washington University in St. Louis, one of their first committees was about lead and water. And ever since then, they've been pushing back against regulation and for more use of lead and water in plumbing. And so it's not surprising that the American Water Works Association and the 4,000, over 4,000 water utilities they represent across the country have sued to push back against some of the strengthening provisions. Now, we can't leave that up to the lawyers. People need to talk to their local, state, and national elected officials and put this on their radar screen. And at the Campaign for Lead-Free Water and with FLAC and other folks, ordinary folks in communities who are organizing on this, we're here to help. And I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Lambrini-Du to add.
So Dr. Lambrini-Du, before you, Tony, once again, lives in a rural area, as you can see, very perceptive, says facts are good, but are there any places where people can find the impact of lead in their communities?
So one thing to add, Tony, I first of all, I want to second what Paul just said, and to say that the immediate first thing that people can do is to obtain lead certified filters. These are filters that are certified with the NSF certification of 42 and 53, and they are installed at the point of use, right at the faucet. So that's one immediate way that people can protect themselves from lead in drinking water while also hopefully mobilizing in exactly those ways that Paul mentioned. Now, in terms of assessing or finding out the effects of lead on one's community, that is not so easy. And why is that? It's not so easy because, first of all, assessing lead in drinking water and detecting it can be a challenge precisely because lead tends to fall into the water in unpredictable and erratic ways. So when we use our standard testing to find out, if a tap is safe or not, it is very easy to miss worst case or high contamination because the release of lead from plumbing is almost like a Russian roulette phenomenon. You might turn on the tap 9 times and have no lead in the water at all, and the 10th time you can have very high levels of lead in the water. Secondly, when it comes to blood lead testing, which is a good thing, and we encourage it, we recommend it, but it has limitations. When children are exposed, and all of us, to very high levels of lead, our blood lead levels can spike for a short amount of time, and then they tend to drop after a while. So unless the blood lead level testing happens soon after one's exposure, it is also easy to miss that exposure and the potential health harm.
855-752-4842. Dr. Lambrini-Du, Paul Schwartz, co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Robert Miranda, and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Can you dig it? Woo! Woo! Yeah! I can dig it, 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 dig
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Once again, every Wednesday at this time, I'm joined by the co-founders of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Paul Swartz, Dr. Yana Lambrini-Due, Robert Miranda Flack. And Robert, before I turn it over to you, I just want to let people know that we are working on a powerful podcast of this program that will be appearing on Civic Media. We're getting very close to where this is going to be. So let's do this. Before we go back to you, Robert, Dr. Lambrini-Due and Paul Swartz and Robert Miranda, let's talk a little bit about what will be appearing and happening on the podcast that we are working on. Dr. Lambrini-Due? Can't hear you. I can't hear you. Let's go.
Yana, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Okay. Lambrini-Due. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're so delighted about this opportunity. Lead in drinking water has so many aspects to it. Many times it's presented as just a purely engineering or chemistry issue, corrosion control, things like that. In reality, it is, I would argue, far more of a social and political issue, and it's far more an environmental justice issue. We are really looking at a problem that is created by very serious power differentials between the people who are making decisions about our water and the people who are consuming our water. And there is a long history with multiple dimensions to this issue. Very important work that has been done by people both on the ground, affected community members, parents of children who've been poisoned from the water, but also academics, historians, public health professionals, social scientists, and others. So we're putting together a podcast series with each session addressing different dimensions of this issue, which we hope are going to empower all listeners to protect themselves and their families and communities, and to work hard and mobilize, exactly like Paul said earlier, to support their elected officials to do the right thing and develop legislation in their communities that finally pushes for transparency and accountability and first and foremost, public health and environmental justice.
Paul, the importance of this podcast?
Yeah, so and its role in manufacturing ignorance has been really at the center of the cover-up and the harm that's going on across our country. And so this is a real opportunity, working with Civic Media and with you, Earl, and the Earl Grimm Show, to do something groundbreaking that busts the myths and the manufactured ignorance that's out there in America. And so we invite listeners like Tony and others into a conversation with us to explore how lead and water, this contaminant we can all pronounce, and that's been around and we know known about as a problem in water since Roman and Greek times, 2,000 years ago. We invite you into this conversation. And as my colleague, Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du and Robert Miranda have said, it's transparency and accountability and the role of media as bringing in the sunlight and being a cleansing agent, those things that ail us, that affect our lives, like this scourge of lead and water. That's what the podcast is going to be addressing. And we're so grateful to you, Earl, and to Civic Media for this opportunity to do something that no other media outlet in the United States has ever done. And we think this is going to be really groundbreaking.
Hey, Robert, your thoughts? Robert? Okay. Well, so so let me do this quickly. Do the lead pipes start to shed and put more lead in the water as they get older? Was this less of an issue in the past when the pipes were new?
No, both new lead pipes and old lead pipes can release lead for different reasons. So lead pipes are a serious hazard no matter what their age.
Well, I want to thank you guys as always. Man, it's great information, you know, and Tony, thank you for great questions. And so we're looking forward to moving this on and making it happen in the coming weeks. Thank you very much. Until then, we'll see you guys again in a week. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday will preview the nation's final farewell to former President Carter as his state funeral moves from the Capitol to the National Cathedral to Plains, Georgia.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News special report. Ferocious winds with hurricane force gusts up to almost 100 miles an hour are fueling wildfires tearing through Southern California. They've burned thousands of homes and threatened thousands more. This man lives in Altadena.
Got some water, got my puppy, and we're being mandatory evacuated now. It's time to go. Eyes are burning. Ugh.
CBS News LA's Rick Montanez is in Pacific Palisades.
We're standing right on the rocks next to the water. I can even feel some of the water splashing as we watch these embers just cast out into the ocean.
NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab is now under evacuation because of the Eaton fire. CBS News LA meteorologist Alex Biston.
You know what? It is all about those very strong offshore Santa Ana winds. We have seen wind gusts anywhere from 60, 70, even 80 miles per hour.
They're expected to strengthen. CBS News special report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.